Do you think we need to take a slightly more religious angle?
Okay. Slightly more. So slightly more religious than what we are right now.
Because
would I think be that we occasionally try to do custom ads for some sort of crystal?
Ooh, interesting. I'm not opposed to that. I could do ads for crystals.
Yeah, me too.
I have a crystal that my mom bought me a billion years ago that I've kept kind of just in my life for ages.
Is it working?
I don't know. It was, she bought it for me because it was supposed to like enhance your creativity.
Oh, well then in that case, I think it is working.
See, there you go.
Okay.
So I can do ads for crystals. I've been, so I've been really getting into a TikTok account, which is a bunch of nuns who have a podcast, and I love it so
much. I've seen this. Yeah.
I find them literally the most charming women on the planet. Like, I think that's just so fucking cute.
I can't. I can't possibly. I see it, and I know that it's all lies, because...
No, they are nuns.
They're nuns, and they are part of the most abusive agency on the face of planet Earth.
But they play Wingspan, Dylan, and it's
I know, and they
and
beat
they talk
children.
About
it. They play
and they,
Wingspan and they, beat children.
And then they make fun of Noah's Ark, and I think it's fun and
oh,
cute.
That's so charming.
Yeah.
And I see it, and I've been like, aw, that would be so cute if they didn't abuse children.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is you don't want to take a more religious angle, even though you just said you did.
Well, okay. The thing is, we could do the slightly more, which I think is crystals. If you want to go like full religious, and
we
you
should
want
go
us to
into
get,
a
like,
nunnery. I think it would be.
And
a
you
want to
get and yeah, and you want to really like get this podcast to be downloaded by the Catholic Church. I think is what you're going for.
There's a lot of people.
Yeah, it is a lot of people. We could really hit big in Vatican City.
And the Pope likes video games.
Yes.
Because he got given Undertale that one time.
Yes. And so I think that we have an in there. I think we might have to change several things.
Okay.
Like our pronouns and names.
I don't think that's relevant. No, I don't think that's relevant.
No.
I think it would be a good way to kind of... Okay, here's the thing.
Okay.
We could endear ourselves to the Catholic Church and the Pope by being able to say that we can manipulate the most amount of people at a time. And that is keeping the pronouns and saying that it's fine to do it. If it's fine and the Catholic Church are into that stuff.
Yeah.
And then
okay.
People will listen, and then we could like push them toward being more right wing, I guess.
Oh, okay. Oh, I wasn't sure which way we were grifting. Okay.
No, we're grifting towards. Yeah.
We're grifting. We're right wing grifters now. Okay.
I think now people say.
Yeah.
People have a lot of comments on like what they think the easiest job in the world is. And I think it's being a right wing grifter.
Right wing grifter. Yeah. Oh, my God. Otherwise.
The mental toil is. The thing is that the mental toil is something that only like. Gothic literature protagonists go through, I believe.
Right, these
on
people
being
are not
right
being
grifter.
Tortured. They're actually having a great time.
Oh, no. I believe that the mental toil of being a right-wing grifter... Okay, let's say that you and
oh,
me
you
become
right-wing...
Oh, you
think it's legitimately
bad. I think that's the reason why they go insane, is because they start at being like, this is an easy job. And then the longer they're there, the more their mind is corrupted and they start seeing... Because they start seeing fucking demons in the shadows just like
they
everywhere.
They do. They do go and legitimately insane, yeah.
They go legitimately insane. And I think that the mental toil is something that only gothic literature protagonists go through, because it's just hell. It's hell. Like, everything is fucking
I do
hard
hope
and,
so. I do hope that it is hell. It seems like it's not enough hell.
I discovered, Nick Fuentes the other day.
Okay, yeah.
By watching a video essay on him. I didn't know who he was. I just heard the name.
Okay, bless you.
That that feels like a certain level of hell that I feel like I...
Oh, yeah, no.
It would,
he's not
I genuinely think it would kill me if I had to do it. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. It would kill you. It is not killing them. And that's why I think it's not enough torture.
I think it is killing them, though. I can see them rotting from the inside. I feel it's like...
I hope you're right.
And people will be like, yeah, they had a heart attack at 38, and that's a normal thing to do. And it's like, no, it's because they were rotting from the inside.
Like,
they were aging. They were
Rogan
on the beach from
yet.
Old.
Like, he should, by all things, like by medical science and by, like, a just world, he should have. Had a catastrophic stroke by now. Like, there's no way his blood pressure isn't insane. But for some reason, we live in a universe where that hasn't happened yet. So I just feel like the retribution isn't there. The consequences, the toil is not.
And it's because not enough people follow the Catholic Church. Hi. Oh, we're taking a hard pivot.
Hard pivot, gang. We're Catholic conservative grifters now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me just take a sip of this raw milk. Hold on a second.
I thought you were being serious for a second. That freaked me out. I was like, why are you drinking raw milk? Are you 5 years old?
5-year-olds should not be drinking raw milk, letting everybody
but
know.
But I thought, here's the thing. You and I use terms too freely. I'm raw dogging this thing. It's like I'm doing this one thing normal style.
Oh, like a plain cup of milk is what you thought I meant.
I thought you were just drinking a glass of milk. Thought that's what you meant by raw dog. I'm drinking this raw milk. I saw in my mind's eye just a glass of milk like you were 5 years old.
Yeah, no. The evil ones are now pushing people to drink unpasteurized milk.
They've been trying to do that for years, though.
Yeah, but now people are doing it. Like, it's like actually working. Like, people are, they're doing it. They're out there drinking fucking...
We live in interesting times. We live in deeply interesting times. But you know what's fun? We live in interesting times that is so similar to all other times.
I know. Yeah,
we're
they're
just living
so
through
interesting
it.
And yet,
they're
oh my
just
God.
Different from the 90s, and I think that's what...
Right, it's like for a brief window, we had see-through plastic electronics, and...
And everything has gone down since. I mean, so for real, we need to bring it back. I really want to... So, you know this. We haven't talked about it. My Steam Deck broke a while ago. One of the toggles on it got way bent out of shape. So I bought replacement things because it turns out that the Steam Deck they built it specifically to be really easy to fix and build on your own. You just need the parts, which is a design.
Which is
a miraculous form
for
of
some
kind
reason,
design.
Very rare these days, but very nice.
Because they were like, we don't want third-party people, you know, doing this stuff. You should be able to do it on your own. So they've made it very accessible to do so. But after I did it and I replaced the toggle, I was like, wow, that was really, really easy. I wonder what other type of modification things there are out there.
What else can you do with it?
And
that's such a good point.
I was Googling for... fucking 90s Game Boy see-through purple. Let me see the guts of my machine as I'm booting it up and using it. As like the shell, like changing the actual shell of the Steam Deck. And it's possible. It's just expensive. I'm actually going to fucking Google it now because that sounds sick as fuck. Because there are a lot of people that make like custom Steam Deck shells that you can... switch in and out of. It's just so cool.
That's
yeah, Dil.
Awesome.
Literally this right here. I'm sending you this on Discord.
Please do.
People who are watching this, just truly, this is what I Googled. I Googled Steam Deck shells. I Googled Steam Deck shells, and this is the reaction. It is a clear... It is a... When I say 90s Game Boy... purple, like, see-through shell. What you're picturing, it's exactly that.
It's that. It's
exactly
beautiful.
That.
God, it's beautiful.
It's just the coolest shit ever. I'm going to buy this, actually. I'm going to be so for real.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it didn't occur to me that you could do that.
Yeah.
God, that's so good.
Yeah. And it might be really easy.
It kind of looks really easy. It looks like... It
the
looks
reviews
like it
are really positive.
Makes sense. This is
This is for the OLED. Yeah. I have all the tools. It could be fun.
Oh my god, there's a glow in the dark one. Fuck you. Fuck you. That's so good.
I have what do I have? I have the 1 terabyte OLED. And this is specifically for the OLED. So this might work for me, actually.
God,
you know what? Fuck it. I actually think let's do it. Let's go. Let's be the song of the summer, I think.
Let's be the song of the summer. Nah. Gang, if you're not in on it, that is just what we're saying now.
I've been playing a lot of Deadlock recently. And whenever me and Vidicia are on a call and I'm doing particularly well, I'm like, oh my god, am I the fucking song of the summer? And then I have just decided that is the funnest thing to say and refer to yourself as is the song of the summer.
It's so good.
It's so good, gang. It feels good. I recommend it. Genuinely. Yeah, let's fucking go. I should have ordered this before the weekend. All right, I've bought it. Should have ordered this before the weekend, I think. Just because then I could spend all day tomorrow trying to fix it up rather than having work to do.
What the fuck is that?
I know. It's ridiculous. All right. Well, I've just bought a Steam Deck shell. Do you think I'm bad with money?
I don't know. You pay your bills on time, so I can't imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do need to figure out taxes this year, but that's about it.
Yeah. Other than that, I think you're doing great.
This is what I get for working with freelance. Dylan, what are we doing here?
Oh my god! legitimately forgot that we were recording right now. my name is Dylan and I've never played a Fallout game.
My name is Robin. I play the Fallout franchise 100 gabillion times.
And we are Dorkspawn, a video game book club podcast where we play video games chapter by chapter and discuss them like a book club. This week... we played the standalone video game, Old World Blues, from Fallout New Vegas. The best game in the Fallout franchise,
man.
I have decided.
That is actually, we were going to record this Friday. We were ill and we were fucking exhausted, so we didn't. I was genuinely pretty worried about how this is going. I think every week I kind of sit down to be a little worried. Just a little like, oh, I hope that, you know, this went over well. And then yesterday we were on the phone and then you were like, man, I'm so pissed that we couldn't record. I'm so excited to talk about this fucking good DLC. And I was like, oh my God, Dylan's excited and likes it. This is good as hell.
This is the best thing that I've encountered in Fallout so far. And it's not even close. It's not even like there's no other, there's nothing else that has come close to this, since we started this game. This is you told me that it was going to be funny. I was like, sure. I was like, okay, maybe it'll be like a little cheeky or whatever. It's actually funny. It's very well written. And also, this is one. All right. So there's a couple of things about this DLC. So the DLC is Old World Blues. You go to
there's like
the
a crashed satellite projector thing.
Yeah.
And then you go to this drive-in movie theater. There's a crashed. I believe it is a satellite that is projecting something.
I think it's a satellite.
But it's projecting an eye, just an eye, onto this projector screen. And you know what this, you get this quest through, your Pip-Boy picks up a signal of a science fiction movie night, and you
right.
walk over to this thing, and then when you interact with it, you then get teleported, kidnapped, and then you wake up in a place called Big Mountain.
Yeah.
Do you want to go?
I do want to go. So there's a couple things I just want to say, like, overall before we get into, like, the like, play-by-play of what happens. There's a couple of things about this DLC that make this, like, a really good DLC. One is that, yes, it is, like Robin had said last episode, it's another one of the DLCs where you're sort of like transported, you're isolated in this area until you finished, and then you can go back to the rest of the world. It's not like integrated into the game in any way, but you get to keep your shit. You don't lose all of your shit, which like I get story wise, but it always does feel like a punishment in a video game.
Sure.
Like,
yeah, I actually forgot you got to keep all your equipment in this. Yeah. I thought you lost everything when you were teleporting.
Another thing is that there is a lot of good writing in this, and the story of what is happening in this DLC does not rely on you reading codex entries to piece it together.
Yeah.
Like, which is a big, like, open world game thing. Like Fallout, Skyrim.
It's definitely something, like, that specific thing is definitely something that I've felt in whilst playing this, the pair of us together, is I know a lot of stuff, not necessarily because I read codex entries, but because I've done this so much, I've watched so much stuff about it that I do know it. Things that aren't explicitly stated unless you read these codex entries. So,
right.
And it's a thing where it's like, oh, that's, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's an open world thing, but that doesn't mean it's good.
But then with this, it's like the story was like easy to follow. Like, I was enjoying the story of this DLC.
Yeah.
Like, through it, because it's, you're actually engaging with it, and like, you have to engage with it to finish the DLC. So there is that. And the writing was genuinely good. It's genuinely funny and interesting, and like, also has like, it's not funny, silly, and like stupid. It's funny and like also kind of a good sci-fi post-apoc, like, story too.
Yeah, no, it's fun.
Okay, so those are my big like overall whatevers. So you get bamfed into this secluded, like massive lab type
science lab
facility thing. And you are covered in scars and you are all fucked up. And when you wander like your way out to try to like figure out what's going on, you run into the best cast of characters you'll ever meet in the Fallout universe. You meet a group of what initially are presented to you as like these like high tech, they're like these robots. They kind of look like Mr. Handy's a little bit. They kind of all have this sort of like orb with multiple like TV screens and eye stalks and things, mm-hmm. like kind of as a visage. But they are all connected to like a brain. And all have like a different little personality. And you first meet the first one. The one in charge is Klein, right? That's the...
Yes, Dr. Klein. Yeah.
So you meet Klein first. Klein is the one that, like, is coming to you as, like, the de facto leader of this group of genius computer things.
This is... So you... Just to briefly interrupt. When you go into Big Mountain, we get a little like pre, like establishing, yes, this is what Big Mountain is. Yeah. Big Mountain is a pre-war facility built in this crater where they just brought all of the best minds in America, yes, the best scientists.
Oh, there's a good line in this too.
To the center of this crater. What is the best line?
The end is like, I'm not going to remember exactly what it is, but it's like, unfortunately, they were like looking for solutions to the wrong problem or something like that. It's a good ending line to the monologue of like, they were there to solve all of these problems of the world, but then the bombs dropped and
And in that great stone in the middle of the big empty lay untouched, filled with countless technological wonders, wonders that in the end had been the answers to the wrong question.
That's it. No? Yeah. It's a really good little bit that I really liked.
But this group are all like, are the scientists who were here in Big Mountain 270 odd years later. Post-war, post-everything. But yeah, Dylan, continue.
So they're a very interesting, like, cast of characters. Klein feels on his face like he's, like, kind of just a leader of the group and is presenting himself as, like, a genius to you. And the others start chiming in from off-screen. There is one who is immediately sexualizing you
Dara?
Horny as fuck about you but they immediately start referring to you as a lobotomite and referring to that until you start asking some questions. Lot and lots of dialogue in this, which is great and cool, mm-hmm, and fun because these characters are so interesting. And so they reveal that
With them talking to each other off screen, this is like, I think, the first time that multiple characters have been speaking to you at the same time in that kind of like dialogue thing. Which is crazy because it also, they have to have a lot of the comedy work in this. They have to have all of their different personalities talking amongst each other at the same time.
Including one who does not speak in words, is just like speaking in...
Which is
like
some of my favorite interactions.
Some of the best. Like one of my favorite moments. So they're having this banter with each other and they do reveal that they have actually removed your brain. Not only have they removed your brain, they've removed several of
your
organs.
Heart and your spine also.
Yes.
And whenever you like, so you turn up and then you get a little notification that's just like, you feel lighter. And then when you go to them and you're talking to them, they're like, oh yeah, we removed your brain. And then you get a big notification that says you've gained the brainless perk, and then it's like, and we also removed your spine, and then you get a notification you got spineless, and then you got heartless as well. So you get like this weird buff because they've replaced your body parts with weird fucked up science other stuff.
Your organs are still around, don't worry. But then I think it's Dara who does say like something off. It's like a one-off line where she's like, after your brain was misplaced, and you're like, hold on, wait a second. What do you mean? What do you mean misplaced? I know you took it out. We got past that part. What do you mean misplaced? And so it turns out that they don't have it. And so they do wind up in like this like big dialogue section, kind of talking themselves into asking you for help. There is a forbidden zone outside of this lab that they can't get to.
And it's run by this guy called Dr. Mobius, who appears on a giant television in their lab to be like mustache twirling evil
haha.
Yeah. I have your brain and all this.
They tell you there's all sorts of like dangers out there, including like all kinds of like robot enhanced living things like dogs and scorpions.
Robo scorpions are the big one. There's also other lobotomites walking around who are always hostile. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they tell you to go out. Okay. So they tell you to go out into the Forbidden Zone and like get a bunch of
Three pieces of tech. I can't remember what it is, but it's you have to upgrade. They give you a little sonic gun. You need to upgrade this sonic gun. You need to pick up a stealth suit. And then it's one other thing that I can't actually remember. But yeah, you need to pick up three pieces of tech for them to get strong enough to go confront Dr. Mobius, this evil guy.
Oh, they also tell you about the sink, which is like in the room you woke up in.
Yep.
There is like this sink where you can like upgrade, but you can like make changes to like the facility and stuff like that through the sink. And
so you're in Dr. Mobius's old room and he enhanced everything with personalities. And you and the sink, the like main hub of it, shows you all of the crater, all of Big Mountain. And you can, like, trade with him, and he can repair your stuff. So he's, like, just your basic merchant. But also can... also gives you, like, the quest to go out and pick up all of the personality matrices of all of the other items and things in your house.
Now, my other part, my other favorite part of this DLC is not necessarily the DLC's fault, but it is our fault for the order of operations in which we've played this game. We are apparently so over-leveled by this point for this area.
Fascinating that you say that. I got my shit rocked pretty consistently in this game.
Oh, I blew through this DLC.
Love that. Love that.
I had a pleasant time for the first time since opening this game. I just fucking, I one-shot killed every single thing that I shot. Every single thing. It was lovely. It was nice. The robo scorpions are and the other lobotomites are like mostly what you're fighting in this area, I feel like. But once you get all of the things that they asked you to get and you go back to, hopefully I'm not skipping anything major, but then as soon as you go back and like tell them that you found everything and that you have everything, you have all this new dialogue to talk to and do stuff for the, I think, what do they call it? They're called the brains, right?
The think tank.
Main cast.
The think tank.
Oh, they're called
is
the think tank.
Yeah.
I thought Mobius referred to them as brains at some point, but the think tank, when you go in there and you go back and you can talk to all of them and then you like get to unlock new dialogue and also like get some other like side quests that you can kind of quickly resolve and get, and like develop them as characters, all really good. Dara gets even hornier about you, and and you can like, I think what you do with her is you
just
like
start
record
doing human
lines.
Things.
Yeah, you like do human things for her so she can like study them and update her little database and get all weird and horny about it.
Yeah.
Obsessed. and then for the one called, who's like is initially called in the beginning O, explains to you that his actual name is Zero, but nobody gets it, so he doesn't correct people anymore or whatever.
Yeah.
And you just like suggest to him to put the line through the Zero.
And
like,
he's freaking out with how good of an idea it is.
And so through all of this, you start to learn that these guys are actually like incompetent. They're like,
you guys are fucking stupid idiots.
They're
and
fucking
it's fun
stupid.
Because from the, literally from immediately dropping in, it starts giving you hints that everyone here is a fucking dumbass because you walk into like, so you appear on, quote unquote, the Sink's balcony, which is your room's balcony. You can see all of Big Mountain.
Right.
You turn around, you go through your room into the think tank. But as you are going through, you can look through your room, and there is so many Mentats. Mentats are the things that make you smarter, but yes, if you get addicted to them, you become
right.
stupid.
I forgot about the Mentats thing. Yeah.
And they are everywhere. They are covering every inch of this place. Immediately, it was like, it immediately starts hinting of like, these people are like not the smartest minds ever. They have just been eating a bunch of be smart pills and then have gotten so addicted to them that now they're fucking idiots.
Yeah.
And then again, whilst talking to people, like immediately as soon as you start speaking to them, I mean, Dr. Klein is talking about when you put up your hand to like, you like raise your hand to start speaking,
right,
and then he's freaking out that you're like raising your hand penises to them.
Right.
Doesn't know the words, and they all like, there are several comments that little brain jar is just full of Mentats. So again, it's just like, there's a lot of things like, oh, these people are completely incompetent. They have no fucking idea what they're doing. They're the world's stupidest people.
Yeah. So you kind of give Zero a solution to having his real name known. And then the one that like speaks in like kind of like a like garbled gibberish.
Dr. Eight. This guy.
Dr. Eight, that's the one.
Yeah.
If you just go through enough cycles of dialogue, you then figure out how to talk to him.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
So he always, you can never fix how he speaks. He always speaks in like, but your responses to him, it like you figure out as the player what he's saying because of the responses. Because all the responses end up being like, the way you answer a question where you answer it back. It's how Han speaks to Chewbacca. Like, it's the same thing of like...
Right.
It's how everyone speaks to R2-D2. A lot of Star Wars references.
Yeah, but exactly.
Yeah, it's that thing where it's like, oh, I guess I could see it like that. I would actually think it's a bit more like this. And then... And it's like, okay, language. We don't need to be speaking like that. Like, a lot of the dialogue is like that.
Yeah,
it's fun. It's fun and cool.
Yeah. I was not considering, obviously, I was just having a great time talking to these characters, and I had not considered that doing these things was going to be like an important, very crucial part of the journey. So I realize I've been talking a lot. I have been so curious as to what you did differently, because I can only identify maybe one significant thing in the end of this that allows you the option to be evil or like to be not a great guy. So I'm just really curious if in what we've talked about so far, if anything was different for you.
Nothing at the minute was different for me. I did do everything that everyone asked.
Okay, you did.
Yeah, I figured out Zero's thing. I figured out, like, I helped Darla because I was like, I'm still going with I'm a big opportunist, and but I also now I believe that Caesar is now, well, like, this is the only way to really do stuff. But this is an interesting one because it's so separate that it's like there's no reason that I was, and also there's like things where you can't attack anyone in the think tank at the beginning because you don't have a brain. There's like a pacification field that goes, you can't pull out any weapons.
Filter too,
and it was one of the things where it's like, if I don't engage, I essentially don't do this DLC. So I kind of have to engage. But me engaging and doing stuff, I'm still going with this of the point of like, Jake is still again this opportunist angle where there are people who are far smarter than him. And he is like, oh, you're smart. I should kind of like be cowardly and kind of bend the knee to you immediately because you're hyper smart, even though it's very obvious to the player that these people are just fucking dumbasses. But I did all their things. I did everything that they wanted.
Wait, is it this part where it becomes, I think it's this part where we learn that the other courier was here.
So
that
there
gets
is
mentioned.
My favorite thing about this DLC is a lot of reading and terminal entry stuff, because this DLC has so much to do with old world, dead money.
Yes.
With the Sierra Madre, and has so much to do with the courier in the next DLC that we're doing. It feels like it's really tying all of the other pieces together, because people do talk about the other courier a lot, and how the other courier was here. There is the other courier. We find out his name is Ulysses, because there is a location called Ulysses Point, where it was an outpost for this other courier, and he mentions meeting Christine from Dead Money and Father Elijah, also from Dead Money, because Father Elijah, again, the lead villain of Dead Money, is brought up so much here, because there is a very, very dark, very sad side story / location in this area of the Chinese internment camp that's here. I don't know if you found it, but there are three living Chinese prisoners of war from pre-war. A bunch of people were shipped here because they were all believed to be communists. All of them were Chinese. To have be experimented on. All of them had bomb collars strapped to their necks, so they couldn't ever leave this little camp. All of the think tank were doing experiments on them pre-war, and also in this like zone there's things of like there was
Is this the one where I at one point I hit a button on a terminal and a guy on a table turned into a little robot and then exploded? Is that
no.
what that
That
no,
would be
that's
different.
Something.
No, that's different.
Okay.
That's different. That is a fun bit, though. I do like that.
Because I did not mean to do that, and I,
No, you're safe.
Okay.
This is truly, it's like, it's a bit, it's really far away.
Okay.
But then there's terminal entries of, like, the first few are, we keep getting complaints from the prisoners that people are, like, going, like, kidnapping them in the middle of the night. Shipping people off and they don't know where they're going, and all this very dark, very sad stuff. And then it goes to quote unquote modern day, where Father Elijah found these bomb collars, and then talking to Ulysses figured out how to adapt the bomb collars to put them on people to try to rob the Sierra Madre, because Ulysses told Father Elijah about the Sierra Madre. So then you find like two or three dead ghouls wearing the same jumpsuit that you're wearing in Dead Money. And it's all a thing of like, you kind of find out, this is where he got the idea to do all this stuff, because he met all these crazy scientists and all the deeply fucked up stuff that they were doing.
Yeah.
He got the idea. Okay. So this is how I do this. Shipped himself to the Sierra Madre. And then that's how you found them
him.
All in the Sierra Madre. And you can also find journal entries from Christine dotted around all of Big Mountain, of her tracking him, also seeing Ulysses, finding out that Ulysses was like, I told him about the Sierra Madre, you should probably go to the Sierra Madre. And then that's how Christine ends up there as well. It's like, it's such a fun little you meet this one guy who is this nebulous courier that we've heard about since literally the beginning of the game, and how he's been interacting and kind of setting up all of the events of how you have found yourself with the platinum chip at the beginning of the game, shot in the head, because, you know, that's literally the inciting incident. And also how you ended up in the Sierra Madre, how the Sierra Madre, like how you got a bomb collar strapped to you. The jumpsuit that you're wearing is from these people from the camp. Why you're in Big Mountain. And it's like, it's such a good like encapsulation of you are going to confront him, and you're going to confront him next. And you know this.
Right. It does
look at how
like
he's been
closer.
Influencing and like pseudo unknowingly pulling the strings of every bad thing that has been happening to you recently.
Yeah.
But then also he's just a guy in this world and we've never met him. Anyway.
Right.
That's just a minor thing. It's a thing that I fucking loved from this DLC. Is these three characters who aren't in this DLC, but how they have influenced Big Mountain and how other people are talking about them, like specifically the think tank and when eventually you meet Dr. Mobius, are all like, yes. They all bring up the other courier. It's fun and it's cool. Yeah.
It's really good. It's really good.
Hi, I'm Maia, and this is Maia's Game Room, a narrative actual play anthology featuring short-form, story-driven TTRPGs. Each season tells a new story using a different rules-light system brought to life with sound design, editing, and emotional-rich roleplay. So, if you love cinematic storytelling and character-driven drama, come check out Season 1, set in the haunting world of the Electric State RPG. Just search Maia's Game Room wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey dorks, our friends over at Soul Muppet Publishing are launching a very special event that you should definitely check out.
Orbital Blues Month starts April 1st and features six different creators crowdfunding their supplemental content for the sad space cowboy game Orbital Blues.
I've played Orbital Blues a couple of times now, and this game really lives up to its hype. So more NPCs, more adventures, and more settings in which to traumatize your space cowboys with is always going to be good.
And each of these campaigns will come with a single from Incredible Behold, who has already created the bass soundtrack for the game as heard on My First Dungeon, and will come with a custom sticker related to each new project by Joshua Clark.
Please go check out the full event and campaigns on BackerKit starting April 1st at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. So now they, at this point, they are telling you that you can go and take down Dr. Mobius. And that they're like, that'll get you your brain back. And also it will free us from his rule over this place or whatever.
Because they're all they have not left the think tank and they can't. They believe that they can't leave Big Mountain at all. They also don't think that anything has changed outside. People keep coming in from the Mojave and being like, oh, yeah, there was nukes and. You know how the world has ended? And they're like, no, you're a stupid baby. That hasn't happened. We would know. We're the smartest people in the world.
But after you start talking to them and like doing things for them, they do start to believe you.
Yeah, they start to clock on that maybe things have changed.
Yes. Yeah, they start to believe you that like this is actually a thing that's happened. So then after this and like once you're like all friends with them and or they are trusting you or whatever, and then you go to there's like a big dome out in the Forbidden Zone where you're going to confront Dr. Mobius and meet the greatest character of all time. Because you meet him and one, he's destroyed. Like he's like
yeah,
cracked and like fritzy and like just broken in a ton of different places. Also a big thing I forgot to mention, because this has come up throughout the course of this DLC like a million times, but this is the first time in playing this game where I actually felt like the fact that I spent all of this time pouring my points into repair and science and stuff actually was worth something.
Yeah.
Like, versus the amount that I've gotten to use it in the world at large, this was like, oh, I actually am so useful here.
Things keep popping up in dialogue
In dialogue, and then also you have the opportunity to actually, like, repair Dr. Mobius It unfortunately doesn't make him look any different, but you can like tell him you'll fix like some of his external injuries.
You fix his like camera, not his screen, because everyone, all of the think tank have two TV monitors for eyes and then one TV monitor for mouth. Dr. Mobius has a broken right TV monitor, and you fix his right eye, but you don't fix the TV screen. So he can still see through it. He just can't.
Yeah, it's just still looks broken.
Yeah.
So you get to talk to him. The other thing is that his personality is completely different than what you got glimpses of back at the think tank.
And also through the overworld as you're walking around.
Oh, right. Because
they are
like,
both domes are like scream arguing at each other occasionally as you're walking through the world in a way that's really fun. Yeah.
Oh, on your way to meeting him, when you're fighting through, you encounter a lot inside the facilities, especially. You encounter a lot of these like robo dogs.
Yeah.
And then also, now, all right, Robin, Justin, I may have not put this together correct.
Okay.
But from what I have put together, I think what, like, in things you encounter on your way to meeting him is that Dr. Mobius was trying to, like, scientifically enhance dogs. And I think was trying to teach dogs to talk. and I think almost succeeded or did succeed, but the dog died, I think. This is so, like, something that is through like over dialogue and then also some like scenes that you walk through and.
Yeah.
Codex entries and stuff like that. But I'm curious if you have different thoughts or if there's more stuff maybe I missed.
I don't
put more context
know
on that.
Who built, so specifically, one of the cyber dogs, which is a kind of companion that you can have throughout this.
Yeah.
If you go to a facility where you can splice people, it's the splicing facility. You can splice a dog and a human together, and it makes a dog called Roxy. And Roxy is a companion. She runs around with you. But I don't know who like kind of has made all of the other cyber dogs. However, there is a place called the Higgs Village, which is a it's a village where each of the members of the think tank lived before they became these like brain in jar people.
Right.
And through chatting to them and also going to this area, you can just like, it doesn't tell you explicitly whose house is who, but you can kind of piece it together through, you know, things that are in the house, talking to the people individually. And Boris, Dr. Boris, is a guy who experiments on animals all the time. So he might be the one who's tried to make
maybe
all
it's
of the
him.
Cyber dogs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, we also breezed past the suit that you find that talks to you.
Oh, the stealth suit?
The stealth suit?
My wife.
Oh, yeah. I love her so much. Oh, yeah. She's so cute and charming.
She's so fucking cute. I finding her is so good because she, so on the tech that you need to find, she is one of the pieces. Oh, this is actually isn't. You get her at a different point. You put on this suit because you find all the like pieces of this perfect stealth suit that like ends up, it like adapts to how good you are, and like it, you know, it like the more you use it, the better it becomes at like hiding you. But when you put it on, this suit starts speaking to you. And also the more like as you wear it just around, it will just have ambient dialogue. It'll tell you when you get into fights. And it's just a cute little lady voice. She occasionally will, because she warns you when you get into fights by being like, fight starting. But as you're walking around, sometimes she goes, fight starting, just kidding.
Yeah. Oh, she's so cute. she's so fucking cute.
She will occasionally say, if you're hidden from all enemies, but there is an enemy nearby, she out loud says, I don't think anyone has been as hidden as I have. Which, again, I love it.
So cute.
There's ways you can do these little tests to upgrade her, which I did all of. But yeah, I think she's just the cutest little lady. I like her a lot. And I am Googling right now because I was like, is she Felicia Day again? Because she has very Felicia Day mannerisms.
Yeah.
But then that is just the time period.
It is the time period.
another one of the places that you go to, this is to upgrade the like sonic gun.
Yeah.
I love the story, the kind of story of this place. So an important thing about this is that every piece of tech is alive and thinks.
Because the sink. It's the sink that also is the other, like, sentient thing back at the ranch?
Yeah. And as is
also
every single piece of... Everything in your room has a personality matrix that you can find throughout the big mountain.
Yes.
And then you, like, you know, you in...
You upload
you get
them
a
to
little
the sink
buff
and then...
you get stuff and then they all have little personality things. But buildings also have personality matrixes because Dr. Mobius installed everything with it. In upgrading the sonic emitter, you have to go through these tests. And the tests are you're breaking into an American high school and... it's when the first time you do it, it's like, okay, you are taking part as a communist. Don't worry, we know you're not a communist. You have to break into an American high school and download the records of hardworking American children. Don't worry, we know you would never actually do this. This is all fake, please don't worry. And then the next diary entry is like a business one. As the other one is like a public facing one, and the next diary entry is a business one of, oh, when people start doing the tests, remember to unleash the cyber dogs on them. Do not tell them about the cyber dogs will kill them. and then you go through and you go through this like set up school facility, and you have to like download literally school records of specifically these three kids. And the three kids are people that Dr. Boros went to school with and has a really, like, has not let go of this girl he had a crush on and the fact that her boyfriend and her used to smoke behind the bleachers and he was a cool kid. He has never let go of that. And you, in this, like... what is ended up probably being like way over 200 years later in this facility, you have to go through and you're downloading the school records of this Dr. Boris's high school bully, Dr. Boris's high school crush, and then I think a high school friend or something. But like all of their records are like Ricky has an F minus in everything. The girl that he has a crush on has gotten in trouble for smoking this amount of times. And it's just a story of the world's most petty man who has never gotten over the fact that he was bullied in high school. And it's just very funny. I like it so much.
That part was really funny.
Yeah. It's really good. Anyway, I'm seeing if I'm seeing if it's, who voices the suit.
The suit, yeah.
Also, did you pick up the dog gun?
No, I don't know what that is.
So, by speaking to some of the think tank, I think it's probably also Boros because he does all the weird animal experiments. You can convince him to give you a gun. like a proper gun, not like a science gun. Uh-huh. And this is a thing which when you first bring it up, everyone in the facility is like, what do you mean? Why would you need a combustion gun? Science guns are the best
ones.
Oh,
wait, right. I did have this conversation, but maybe I didn't.
Yeah, it's a gun that's called the Cyber Dog. It is a little mini, it's a mini gun that has two little dog ears and a dog brain, like in it. And it's just a normal minigun, but it whines when you put it away and pants when you reload it. It's like, it's just someone put a dog's brain in a gun and it has no function other than the fact that it's a gun. It's like, it's a minigun. So it's like a fairly
okay
gun. Oh
my God,
gun,
you know what? I think I have it and I just never pulled it out.
Love that. Hell yeah.
I think that happened because I remember that dialogue going really well. So interesting.
But there's also a lot of melee weapons in this.
Yeah, but I stuck with the
cool shit you got from
The main gun.
Sick. Yeah. Stealth Suit Mark II. There we go. That's what it is. Who voices you, Stealth Suit Mark II? Tell me now. Oh, also the stealth suit ups you gives you stim packs whenever you're low on health.
Oh, yeah. Also another thing is that my science skills allowed me to make so many stim packs because you come across all these machines where you can just use them to make as many stim packs as you want. I'll never need them again.
All right. So the actress is actually Veronica Belmont, and she also voices the light switch 1 and 2 and also voices Christine Royce.
Wow.
So she's a bit of a DLC heavy hitter here.
Heavy hitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is fun. Which is fun and cool. What else have you done, Veronica? I'll find that out later.
You find that out. So
yeah.
So now I'm very excited for the next two big conversations, especially because there's I wonder if you did it differently. And then also there's something that I was wondering if it would be different for you. So first you talk to Dr. Mobius and it was pretty easy for me to just like talk to him about like the science of this place. And I kind of had a really easy time talking to him and like just choosing things to like point out like the kind of sciency names in this place, like Boros, Ouroboros, and then
Klein
like,
is also infinity.
Klein and 8 is the infinity loop. So there are things here that I'm able to like talk about. And then also my brain extraction is apparently went well because I got shot in the head at the beginning of this game.
Funny.
And it caused like a unique scar that allowed this to happen like differently than the other lobotomites. And so we talk, and then he kind of reveals like the flaw in the think tank and like why they are kind of essentially broken from their like separation, and that they've been separated from like desires like curiosity and collaboration and like all these other things for too long, and that is like a big part of why this like existence that they're in has like hindered their ability to think and be good scientists, and why it would be so devastating if they were to be able to like go out into the world at large. And then he's like, also here, your brain is over there if you want to chat with it.
Yeah.
And so then, all right, before we talk about the conversation with the brain, how did your encounter with Dr. Mobius go?
My encounter is, because it's interesting because I now have pretty good science, but I have better speech. And there's another way.
There is a
to
different
get
way.
Through
right.
a lot of these conversations, which I think is very fun for having all the characters in this be kind of like nerd-based shut-ins, is you can charisma talk them out of a lot of stuff just
true.
By being a good talker. which I think is really fun. I whilst speaking to Dr. Mobius, was able to like find out that if they were to like leave this place, it would be really bad. But then also, kind of that they can be easily manipulated and talked into, talked into just like working for someone. And I was like, fantastic, that's exactly what I'm gonna do then. I'm gonna talk these people into being on my side. I think, which I love about this specific going into the Forbidden Zone, is when you first, so you, there is this big boss fight with this absolutely gargantuan robot scorpion, which is a great fight. Because you can either fight it straight head on, you can hack all of the turrets to destroy it, or if you have high enough science, you can hack it to just self-destruct and blow itself up.
Wow.
Which is really fun.
I didn't even try it. I just shot it and it died pretty
fast.
Shot
it until it died. Yeah. I mean, I still don't have really good like combat skills. A lot of this DLC was spent with me crouching around because I picked up a perk.
Yeah.
Literally the second I got in, I leveled up, and then I picked a thing which is, if I am hidden by a robot, I can deactivate the robot if I'm sneaking next to it and it hasn't seen me yet.
Yeah.
So I barely fought anything. I just deactivated as many robots as I physically could. You can't do it with the giant robot scorpion, but I did find a terminal, hack into the terminal, and tell it to self-destruct.
Mm-hmm.
Which again is fun, because the reason why that self-destruct is in there is because there's a terminal entry from Dr. Mobius who's like, this one time I lost control of it, so I've installed a self-destruct thing. Do under no circumstances turn on the self-destruct if you are anyone but me. And then the direct next entry is activate self-destruct. And I was like, yeah, I'm just going to activate it. Dr. Mobius is also fun because, yes, his personality has shifted really bad. We talked about this, but he comments on the fact that the reason why, his personality shifted because you're like, yeah, you seem really different. And he was like, I think the time I spoke to you, I was on a psycho come down, which is a drug in this universe. So he was just on a come down from a very aggressive based drug. And he's
right.
Like, yeah, sorry about that. That's my fault. I won't do that again. He also talks about how it is, these people need to stay in line because unfortunately they're really hyper smart, but yeah, if they get out, they're gonna be
right.
Evil.
It's like an act. It's like, or it's like a, it's like a persona that he
has put on.
Yes,
because your brain says, he says that he was talking to your brain, and your brain was like, you watch too much science fiction movies. You've changed your name to Dr. Mobius, which is a stupid science fiction villain name, and you're trying to threaten these people. And he's like, yeah, that's kind of what it is. Anyway, then speak to brain.
Yes.
The brain is really fun because it is literally you.
Yeah.
But this is, fun fact, the most complex character interaction, I believe, in all of New Vegas.
That's what I was hoping for, because I was like, some of the stuff that my brain is saying to me feels like it wouldn't make sense if your brain said the same thing. And I was like, I bet it's different.
Yeah.
I bet it's different. Okay,
little bit different. There is a thing where your brain is always pretty smart. But the reason for that is that the reason given is that it's in a vat full of Mentats. So it's just been
hyped up on. Yeah.
It does talk a lot about how I am an evil person and how it doesn't want to get back into my body.
Oh my God, I'm
because
so
I'm
excited.
Evil and I do too much fucked up stuff. So it is very resistant to getting back in my head, but I can threaten it, which is what I did.
Of course.
I threatened it to join back in my head, because I was like, I straight up don't need you anymore, so I can go do this, but wouldn't you... it's fun because it keeps blaming it's like, oh, you know, all of this adrenaline and violence and all this. And I was like, well, that was you because you're my brain. It was like, no, those were glands. Am I part of those glands? Yes. But the glands make that happen. I don't want those things to happen. I feel like it's too scary and violent in your body. Anyway, I threatened it.
Yeah.
Because even though I was like, I think it would be fun for Jake to fully be like, no, I'm actually better being a mostly robot man. But I did decide to threaten my brain because there can't be two me's, because I know me and I would fuck myself over eventually. So I was like, no, you have to actually get back inside of my body. So yeah. I threatened it to get back in my body. However, I did leave my heart and spine behind because I think heartless, spineless with this character is, that makes sense.
That's so fun. That's really fun.
Yeah.
My brain borderline convinced me that I needed it back. And was
that
sort
is
of like
fun.
And was sort of like, we were talking and I was like also like, hey, when are you coming back? And it was just sort of like, you have been, since I've been outside, you have been missing the drive to do good. Like the drive to help people. That comes from me. I have been
really fun
for you. And so I'm like, well, I miss it. So you want to come back?
That's cool.
And yeah. And it was like a kind of fun, cool conversation. And I was like, I remember playing it and being like, there's no way this is how this is going for Robin.
No, no, it's not. No, my brain is very anti getting back in my body because I'm so evil.
That's so fucking cool.
Yeah.
That's
it just
really
keeps talking
cool.
about how I'm exclusively base impulse and the most violent thing possible. And it is like, I'm useless in your body. You don't use me anyway. It's a fun little bit. But then
that's fantastic.
You can speak to Morbius again. And then he is like, okay, well, then let's go stop the think tank.
Yeah.
You can comment, well, I'm just going to go in there and you're going to execute all of them. And he says, I don't want them to die. They're people still.
Yes.
And that's bad. Which I think is a fascinating little bit. Just like from this guy who's like this big villain. And then you're like, yeah, I'm going to go kill them. And then he's like, no, they're people. They're fucked up and they live in like brain robots, but they still exist. And we shouldn't kill them pointlessly. I was like, oh, interesting. Okay, I like that angle. But then he says, they are easily manipulated, though. And I was like, good.
Yeah.
And they went back to the think tank.
Okay. All right. So now I am curious how this went for you, too, because when I go back to talk to the think tank, because I did all the personality upgrades of everything before talking to them, for the last time. But when you go back to talk to them, it's another scenario where Klein is taking the lead and everybody else is sort of off screen, like chiming in.
Uh-huh.
And when you're talking to Klein, he's become like revealed himself to be a little evil, is like sort of like, okay, well, now that we know all of this and you've shared all this with us, we can finally go out into the, into this wasteland you've described, and we can have this whole world to experiment on or whatever, blah, blah. And so as you are talking to him, well, at least with what I did, which was I was appealing to the others in the room. And so the others who I've all helped now start chiming in and they're like, are you sure this is the right thing to do, Klein? Like, we this is not what we got into this for, et cetera. And like, and so like, they all kind of convince Klein without me really having to do anything except just keep prompting them to do that. And then Klein did threaten me, but then they were like he just threatened to like just kill me.
Yeah. And they were like, calm down.
But they were like, don't do that. And then he backed down and then like they all collectively decided to back off and let me leave.
Yeah. I had the same the same situation, because I was having so much fun just kind of goofing around and doing everything. Kind of part of the reason why this episode is a little late is because, we were supposed to be recording, but I was like, I'm still playing it. Like, I'm having so much fun just exploring this little area.
Yeah, it's really
good. Did everything you could possibly do. So then when it came to this, I did manipulate them into following, but I specifically manipulated them into working for me.
It
was stated that I'm in charge and you do what I say, but you can do as many weird fucked up experiments as you want.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And they were like, okay, sure. And then they all agreed to it. Which is
Whoa.
Fun because in the endings, and then it goes to the endings.
Right.
And then
you get
it
a
narrates
cool little,
narrates all what's happened.
Yeah.
A really great thing that I think we both got, but I think which I love in the ending of specifically the think tank is Dr. Klein and the think tank remained alive, unaware of the world outside. They looped through their daily routine, none the wiser about the world beyond. Although perhaps wiser is the wrong word. The world outside belongs to the courier, and if anyone would shape it, the courier had already called dibs. Love that.
Good
That's
shit.
Cool as fuck. That's so good. But because I'm evil, I had a unique little ending point. We both had a similar one, but the evil one goes... I believe that everything is the same except for... No, it's not. The Big Empty lived up to its name, a hollow crater of failures in a past era, a last sad statement of the old world. In the time following the Second Battle of Hoover Dam, old world blues became more than a catchphrase. It became a reality, a withering form of nostalgia for times long past. It could be easy to see science as evil, technology unchecked as the source of all ills, all misfortunes. With the courier at the helm, it was all of this and more. Old world blues, new world misery. The two became one in the courier's shadow.
Whoa.
So it's literally saying the courier made the world an infinitely worse place just because they went to Big Mountain and they convinced everyone to... be forced to help them, and I'm like, fuck.
Holy
yeah
shit.
This game rules, but like the game rules, but just like with the amount that it'll just let you be fucked up and do evil stuff and how it reacts to you doing it. I heard that and I was like, oh my God, I hope that I got that unique because I'm evil. And then I checked and there are three different finale end quotes, and there's it's good, neutral, bad, and then two different ways to finish the to like close out the ending. It's cool. It's
That's
cool
fucking,
and fun.
It rips. It
I love it.
Rips. It's good. It's good shit.
Yeah, there's a lot with... Okay, so all of the different ending slides have... There is one for each personality matrix that you install in the sync, which I love. If we can briefly talk about the personalities, how much of your room did you turn on?
I did, I think, all of them. It was like 8 of them or something.
Yeah, it was lots.
I think
you
I did
have
them all.
Like, love that. But you have like the light switches where there are two light switches in the apartment. Both of them don't like each other.
I know. And they have like a little bit of a fucking. Like high
you can flirt with both of them also.
Them.
Oh, you can flirt with your own brain. I forgot this. If you have the Lady Killer or the Confirmed Bachelor perk, you can flirt and attempt to fuck your own brain, and your brain does nothing but reel in repulsion at the fact that you're trying to fuck your own brain.
I didn't. I think I went straight for the sciencey talk, and I either missed it or just didn't take it.
So the light switches on their closing statement say that their bicker... at each other and their dislike of one another continues until someone drops a flashlight and they join together in their hatred of the showboat. I think that's just really funny. The sink itself, not the sink unit, but the actual sink that you wash your hands
sink.
In. Her whole personality is that she's like very neurotic and is like, oh, we need to clean you, we need to wash you of all of the dirt, but she floods the majority of the of the big empty eventually, yeah. trying to purify it. There is, oh, the jukebox mm-hmm. is sleeping with one of the light switches, or both of the light switches, and yeah. the other one finds out, and then they just turn off all the lights around the jukebox, forcing him in darkness forever, which I think is just so good.
Yeah, really good.
The auto dock is cool. We have an auto dock in this, also related to Dead Money, because this is also, this is, Sinclair, who built the Sierra Madre, bought all of the trauma harnesses, which are around. Right. Did you hear the Doctor Who reference in all the trauma harnesses?
What was it? Maybe?
So the trauma harnesses are they're like skeletons that are in these suits.
Right.
And they're trapped in these suits because when something really bad happens to someone in the person in the harness, they will walk back to the big empty to get fixed up. But when everyone had died, they just kept keeping the body alive, but very, very barely. And by this point, everyone has rotted away, so they're just walking skeletons. But if you wait around on these skeletons in suits for long enough, they say, hey, who turned out the lights?
The lights, of course.
Which is fucking fun.
That's really good. Damn, I didn't get that. That's great.
Yeah, it's cool. But those suits are what Sinclair bought for the weird ghost freaks in the Sierra Madre, because those are the same trauma harnesses. And mm-hmm. also, this is where Sinclair also bought all of the auto docks from, which is where Christine got operated on. Anyway, you have an auto dock in your apartment, and you can change. It's like, this one actually works and is good. But you can change your appearance. You get new haircuts. You can get implants that you can do. It's a full, like, character remodel if you wanted one. It's cool. Yeah. I love that. Roxy, the dog that you create, runs out of the big empty and then goes all the way to Vegas and finds Rex, who is one of the companions, the dog companion, and has babies with Rex, which I think is cute.
God, that's cute. That's really good.
In a little ending. There are a bunch of leaving your courier brain, which I think is fun. You can take your brain back, which has a specific ending. You can leave your brain, which has a specific ending. And then if you leave your brain and have and are evil or are good, there's also specific endings to those two things mm-hmm. as well, which I think is fun. I didn't do this, but if you leave your brain and you have bad karma, the ending is, and so it burbled and bubbled inside of its tank, smug that it could still dream of its future without glands getting in the way. It talks a lot about glands being the reason why it's doing evil stuff. In time, however, it became so self-obsessed, it wondered if perhaps nothing existed except itself. It decided to test this by turning the weapons of the big empty against each other and seeing what would happen. The answer is lost to history, as is much of the Mojave. So, if you're evil, your brain is another version of you and decides to nuke itself into oblivion. Yeah. So fun.
Of course.
Anyway, I love this fucking DLC.
This is good.
It's fun. There is a cut ending, which is you could join the think tank, but it was cut. But the ending was...
That did seem released. Like there should... Like that there was an option. Like that feels right.
I think a lot of the DLCs have an ending where... You kind of decide that your courier's journey ends here. There's one for the Sierra Madre where you join Father Elijah and then you like spread this red mist gas amongst all of the Mojave and take it over. There's one where, but that is actually in the game. And there's one where you join the think tank.
And you just don't leave. You stay there.
And you just don't leave. Don't leave, but then you kind of take over the Mojave again as this like mm-hmm. evil force.
Where that's this is the ending. Yeah.
This is the ending. Like the game is done. Like you become a brain in a jar, and are finished.
Yeah.
There is also a lot of references to a Fallout 3 vault called Tranquility Lane that I really like. Tranquility Lane is a VR vault where they kind of trap people in this in this like quote unquote picture perfect place called Tranquility Lane. And that was originally built in Big Mountain, and the join the think tank ending is you essentially hook everyone living in the wasteland up to a quote unquote picture perfect version of America. Which is neat. There is also yet another reference to Vault 22 in this, where Patient Zero of Vault 22, Vault 22 being the one where nature went everywhere, Zero is here, like the first experiments of like, oh hey, we can make plants go absolutely haywire, starts and exists here, and then they're like, well, let's use this in a vault. And then that vault, you know, ended up being the place in Honest Hearts, which had all of the people having to escape the vault because plants went haywire, and then we can also investigate Vault 22 in the main game. Fun little, like, there's a lot of little hints of just little things in the game that you can experience in this DLC. I think it fucks. It's fun as hell. I like it a lot.
Yeah, me fucking too. This Good. Was great. Full game. Give me the full...
Give me a full
60-hour game that is just Old World Blues, and I'll play it.
It's really cool.
Cover to cover.
So this is the third DLC of four that we've played. This one is fun because I think all of the flaws that I had in Honest Hearts were ironed out in this. The thing of like, Honest Hearts is an open world, which is fun, but there's not like a lot to interact with. The characters aren't very strong, but in this, I'm like, it is a standalone story that has so many side stories that expand out into the greater world, but all of the characters in it are really,
really
like, big
good.
And fleshed out. And it's like, they did a fun thing of everyone is like a parody caricature of a science fiction thing, but because of that, everyone is really memorable. And like, you go to Higgs Village and you can walk through a house and you're like, oh, this is the guy who hates Robert House. That's kind of a big part of his personality. This is clearly his house because there is a picture of Robert House with a knife in it and also a dead Securitron upstairs. This is clearly Mobius's because there's Mentats everywhere and you know, like journal entries of him going kind like him being like, oh shit, I need to deal with these other people. There's a house that has animal experiments happening downstairs, and also because we have the Wild Wasteland perk, there is a tiny death claw in a doghouse. And it's like, oh well, that's Boros because his whole thing was animal experimentation.
It was animals. So it was Dr. Boros. Now that makes sense. That was doing trying to make dogs talk.
Yeah. But it's fun. It's like, you know, they give us characters that we don't spend a huge amount of time with, but they are very like, they're very one note, but also interesting. But then that one note is like, here are all the, you see a little thing. Oh, I met this person once. I know that this is related to them.
Yes.
That's fun. It's cool. It's good. Yeah. It's a good fun little time. I like it a lot.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Next week we are doing the final expansion of Fallout New Vegas before we completely close out New Vegas. The only DLC for New Vegas I haven't done. This is the only New Vegas thing I've never experienced at all. We are going to, this is the final of the courier storyline, because we are going to have the confrontation of the couriers, a thing that throughout these DLCs have just been nothing but hinted at, is the actual, the final confrontation between the couriers. So we're going to be doing the Lonesome Road DLC, and I'm so stupid excited about it. It's gonna be a good time.
It's gonna be great.
I love you a lot.
I love you too.
I think you're the best. However, is there any other closing notes?
Just one.
Yeah.
It's a bit unfortunate.
Oh.
But I have to tell you. The game was rigged from the start.
Yeah. Good.
Fantastic.